Welcome to Walking in His Word, everybody. Coming at you from Cornerstone Church in Highland, Michigan.
Good morning. Happy Thursday, everybody. It's a thankful, thrifty Thursday.
I love that we've got a thrifty Thursday.
I do too. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, thankful Thursday seems a little classic, you know, like
maybe even predictable.
Maybe a little predictable. And then just throw in a thrifty Thursday and it's just like getting a curveball when you're expecting a fastball. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Thursday is an interesting day for me, Pastor Aaron.
Yeah?
Yep. It's a long day for me. Long day.
Okay.
It starts with early in the morning. I get my kids to school.
Right.
I come to work. Then as soon as I get home, I grab one of my kids. We hop in the car. I take her to gymnastics. Her gymnastics class lasts for 2 hours.
Man.
I don't want to sit there for 2 hours. Actually, let me just say this. I just lied a little bit.
Okay.
I actually do want to sit there for 2 hours. Because I'm tired.
Because you're so tired.
But instead of sitting there for 2 hours, I stay for about 20 minutes. Then I go to the gym.
Yeah.
It's just across the street.
Right.
For an hour. Then I come back and she's got about a half an hour or whatever left of class. And then I watch her for the last half hour. And then we go home. So then we don't get home until like 6:45 at night. I haven't had any dinner yet. I'm starving.
Yeah.
The wife puts a plate of food in front of me. I get the kids to bed. Finally, I'm able to sit down on the couch. It's a long day for me.
Yeah, that's a long day.
But Thursday is also a very interesting day because at gymnastics class, I purposefully strike up conversations with the other parents and I talk about church and I invite people to church and I talk about
Come on.
And then when I go to the gym, I'm looking for people. There's people at the gym that I've been inviting to church.
Yeah.
And I look for them because I know they work out at that time.
Yeah.
Oh, I see him. All right. Hey, how's it going? I want to see you at church this Sunday. Oh, I know. And they give me their excuses. Maybe it's a why and da da da. But I work on them. I come back to the gymnasium where one of my daughters is at gymnastics. I work on the parents there too.
Yeah.
I don't really want to do that. I want to just sit down in that chair, put like an AirPod in my ear and listen to some podcasts and chill.
Right.
But I decide I'm going for it. I'm just going to work it. I'm going to work it.
It's good.
We can't take a day off.
Can't do it.
We got to stay faithful.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what Pastor Jim's message is all about.
That's what it's all about.
Let's go.
Jesus. Because the Holy Spirit wants to glorify Jesus, doesn't he? And so he prompts believers to write about Jesus, to worship Jesus, to speak about Jesus. So I want to encourage you to be the ultimate name dropper. Drop his name into conversations. You know, I just wanted to invite you to church, and you know, we're learning all about, well, you could say we're learning all about the Bible, we're learning all about God, we're learning all about moral values, or you could say, you know, we're just learning all about Jesus. The demons tremble at the name of Jesus. Jesus. The church at Pergamos, they had not denied his name, right? And it says there in verse 13 that they have not denied the faith, even in the days when Antipas was martyred or was killed. And I want you to know there's challenges to our faith. And there'll be times when you'll be tempted perhaps to deny your faith, like Peter, just to not step forward and say, you know him. Keep your mouth shut. Don't mention him. If you mention him, there might be trouble. You might get ridicule. They might disdain you. It might not be well received. And so you keep your mouth shut. And I realize we need to walk in wisdom in this world and not go out of our way to be offensive. But at the same time, let's not deny his name. The rebuke of Jesus Christ is found in verse 14. I have a few things against you, because you have there those, and so he's talking about people in the church, in this church of Pergamos, who cling to the doctrine of Balaam, and also hold to the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. And so the church in Ephesus, they had left their first love, but at least they hated the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. And here we have this church tolerating it, allowing it, permitting it. I have a quote down here taken from a pastor. I really like this quote. If a church contends for the faith without compromising the faith, God will preserve them as a remnant for revival. Yeah, people that are holding to the doctrine of Balaam. What was the doctrine of Balaam? Well, he's an Old Testament prophet that the enemy used to cause the Israelites to sin. And basically, his teaching or his counsel was, get them, the Israelites, to compromise with the culture. Get them to compromise with the culture, to blend in with the culture. Get them to worship the gods of this world. Get them to sleep with the women of this world. Get them to compromise their faith. To not be so separate, to not be so holy, to not be so godly. And so people in this church of Pergamos, they had entered into the spirit of compromise. Oh, we'll go along to get along, and we won't draw lines in the sand, and we won't be so serious about our faith, and we won't live such godly, holy lives that make us stand out, but rather we'll compromise. We'll blend in. We'll just blend in. It's nice for nice people to be nice. But you know, the gospel of Jesus Christ calls us to come out and to be separate so that our light might shine brightly, so that people can see the transforming nature of Jesus Christ. The gospel is not requiring us to be legalist or to be judgmental or to be hateful or to be critical of this and that, but it does require us to live a life of distinction and to proudly, I am a Christian. I am a believer. I am a Christ follower. I am a Jesus freak. No shame. The Bible says that when they were beaten there, the early church, they were beaten. The Bible says they left rejoicing because they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Jesus, wear it like a badge. Wear it proudly. Look what the Lord's done for us. He took upon himself that cross. And he died that horrible death, lifted high up from the earth on that cross, took all the persecution and the slander and the false accusations and the beatings and the scourging and the blood that was spilled, and he did it all for love for you and I. And now his spirit is on the inside of us, and we say, I am a Christian, a believer, a follower, a Jesus lover. That's who I am. Hallelujah. That's the way we need to be, don't we? Well, it's getting darker and darker and darker. People don't want to hear it. That's why we need to shine our light brighter and brighter and be more bold. I know that might sound a little bit counterintuitive, but I really think that's biblical. Greater is he that is in us. Listen, when sin abounds, what does much more abound? The grace. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Well, if grace is abounding, who is the gracious one? Jesus. So as sin abounds, let Jesus abound yet more and more. Somebody say amen. He says, you hold to the doctrine of Balaam, which is the spirit of compromise. You hold to the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which is basically turning the love of God and the grace of God into an occasion for indulgent, immoral behavior. God loves me. It doesn't matter what I do. He loves me. Therefore, I will remain doing what I'm doing because he loves me just the way I am. And literally, you're taking the love of God and using it as saying that God loves me just the way I am. Therefore, I'm not changing. But he does love you, and he died for you, so that by believing, you might be transformed, not to stay the way you are, but to become transformed. Does that make sense? He tells them in verse 16, you need to repent. Repent. You know, the persecuted church, Smyrna, he didn't tell them to repent. The Philadelphia church, yeah, that was so committed to the Great Commission. I've set before you an open door, and, you know, they're so committed to the Great Commission. He didn't tell that church to repent. But all the other churches, this was the message. You need to repent. You need to repent. And maybe that spirit of compromise is in your heart. If so, repent. Or maybe you've taken the grace of God and you say, you know what? God loves me. He loves me even though I'm doing all this. He loves me. I'm just going to continue to do all this because God loves me. And you need to repent. You need to come out of that. You need to get right with God.
Pastor Tim here is talking about compromise and, you know, just how we need to come out of this this state of compromise that we're in. And I want to talk to you just for a second. There's something that's really just been, God's been working in me over the past maybe 2 or 3 weeks. And I just want to talk to the men out there today, just for a few minutes. We're about to go have our men's conference this week. It starts tomorrow.
Tomorrow. So excited.
Friday night. And the Lord has been working in me an expectation for this men's conference. You know, we're here and we get to be a part of all the behind the scenes stuff. We're working hard. You guys might not understand all of the work that goes into putting on this massive conference where we have between, you know, sometimes over 500 guys that show up for this conference. It's insane. But there's a lot of work that goes into it. Sometimes you can get caught up in, okay, I got it. You know, all of us on staff, especially the guys, we have these task lists that are so long and we're working through all this stuff. And it's easy to sometimes just get distracted with that. But the Lord has been working in me an expectation that he is going to move. Mm-hmm. An expectation that, man, he's going to show up big time in this conference. Man, we've just been praying and seeking the Lord. And I want to just encourage you, maybe challenge you a little bit. If you've been living with that spirit of compromise, with that, well, it's okay, it's just a little bit, or I'm going to take this day off, or maybe not go to church this Sunday, maybe next week. I don't know what it is, but if you've been living with that spirit of compromise and you're a man listening to my voice, you need to get to this men's conference.
Yeah.
You need to be a part of what God is going to do this weekend because it is going to rock your world.
I have a major expectation for this weekend at church too, Pastor Aaron. I really do. And it's not always that like that.
No, yeah, it's
so
not.
So I think something special is going to happen.
I really do too.
Weekend at church.
Mm-hmm.
Men, check this out.
Man Up 2024 is coming March 8th and 9th. Men, you were meant for more. Man Up Conference is brought to you by Cornerstone Church and features guest speaker Ross Shear, powerful worship, and a move of God for this generation of men. To buy tickets and find out more information, go to cornerstonehighland.com/men. Thank you for listening to our show today. You can find more information at our website, cornerstonehighland.com. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook. We'd love to see you at church one day. Please do not be a stranger.